This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. Today I have come to Harpa in the centre of Reykjavik, a place where all manner of wonderful productions take place. And if you are in town for whatever reason, whatever length of time, it's definitely worth the visit. One of the things I can personally recommend that you do is learn how to become Icelandic in 60 minutes. And maybe our conversation today won't take fully 60 minutes, but I'm with Bjarni Thorsson, who is the writer, I think the creator of this show as well, which has been running for 12 years. And we're in the space where it takes place, aren't we?
Yes, this is the theatre. We've been running here since May 2012.
I think back to my memories of the show. It was actually performed by a friend of ours, so it's had a rotating cast over the 12 years. But as you wrote the show, what did you set out to do when you pitched this idea to a number of audiences that they could become Icelandic in 60 minutes?
I had no idea. I just hoped that it would run that summer, and maybe the winter. Mm-hmm. But at least the summer, the first summer. But I had no idea. I mean, I hoped it would continue, and it has. Mm. But like I told you before, we thought during COVID or after COVID, we would not start again. But we did, and we're still running.
Well, we're going to go back to the show, and you can talk about what the show actually is in a few minutes. But I want to spin back to about 2 or 3 weeks ago when you actually created a theatrical record here in Iceland, didn't you?
According to older, wiser men and women that have been in the business longer than I have, I've been told, people that have worked in the theater for decades, that this is the record is it was probably set the record a few years ago, but definitely none of them had ever read or heard about a show that ran for 1,000 performances.
And was the 1,000th performance special?
It was just like a regular show. It was just like, and I did the show myself.
Yes.
And I told the people, you know, in the beginning that this is a special occasion, and it was just filled more or less with you know, foreigners, yes, tourists that have no idea about the show. Maybe they knew about it only that day, and they clapped for about 5 seconds and then all right,
get on with
it. On with the show. We don't care.
Yeah, but it's a hugely impressive record. Of course it is. 1,000 performances of this show. And let's go back then to the beginning and back to first principles, I suppose. How to become Icelandic in 60 minutes. And you basically run through the history of the country, but also, as the name suggests, the character of the country, I suppose.
Yeah, the characteristics. Yeah. You know, obviously people are different and stuff, but it's generalizing, of mm-hmm. course, but it sort of lets you in on a few things, characteristics, you know. Of course, even if we teach people how an Icelander walks, maybe obviously you live in Iceland, you see that people walk in yes. many different ways. But, you know, maybe, because of the weather and maybe because of the dark winters, we don't walk around like people in Andalusia perhaps do on the beach every day, you know, like freely and sort of, you know, optimistic and stuff.
We walk very determinedly, I think.
Determinedly, you know, and I just remember when I was a kid, you know, when I was younger and I was, you know, I did the papers in the morning, maybe woke up at 6 and it was crazy weather, and then onto the school bus, you know, and it was just like, I'm still a little bit surprised today that I just didn't die because, you know, the weather here, as you know,
yes.
and it can get crazy, and especially during winter.
When you started to write the show, when you had the idea to create the show, Is it because you'd noticed that there were things about Icelanders that were different, but amusingly different?
Absolutely. And I've lived in the United States for a few years, and I've lived in Sweden for many years. And I think also because having the perspective, living abroad, it gave you a better perspective of the Icelandic characteristics and what people said about me, you know, in America and in Sweden and in other countries, you know. Oh, yeah, you know, like, oh, you Icelanders, you're a little bit like this, so you're a little bit like this. Or
was any part of it about addressing sort of, you know, misconceptions or false ideas that people had about Iceland? I'm interested in what you said there, that people said to you that as an Icelander, you do things a certain way. There are all sorts of myths that people believe about Iceland, aren't there?
Yeah. That we, you know, myths, of course, the obvious ones that, you know, everyone here drinks like a Viking and that we fight every day and behave like Vikings, you know, which, as you know, we don't.
No, very peaceful place. But it's like there are new myths being created all the time, because when we had all the eruptions, and of course we're on the cusp of another one, it seems, on the Reykjanes Peninsula, during one of those eruptions, I spent a whole day talking to foreign media saying, no, the country has not closed down. Yes, the flights are still taking place, and you can come here, and unless, of course, you're in the town of Grindavik, and our sympathies, of course, with everyone there, the rest of the country is getting on with things regardless. So it seems that there's always a myth in the air about Iceland.
Yeah, especially, and as you say correctly, during now the eruptions, when there are eruptions occur, and they're not as, even though these ones have been, you know, affected people in Grindavik and stuff, but most part of Iceland, it doesn't affect everyday life. And sometimes, you know, we don't even know about them. Because we live on an island with 32 more or less active volcanoes, so it's part of our DNA. You know, it's not so special.
No, and the earthquakes as well—they're happening all the time, and most of those can't be felt. So, take me back then to the show. It's been a few years since we saw it, but I do remember it being, as we've discussed, a chance for people to learn literally how to become Icelandic if they want to adopt certain characteristics. Take me through the show for someone who's not seen it.
It's a combination of incisive and it's laugh and learn. You know, you learn things. It's educational and it's edutainment, so to speak. It's a blend of stand up and history. And there are a lot of graphics in the show, both the animation and live graphics. So it's fast paced and it's some people laugh a lot. Mm. Some people laugh not so much. And they pick up a few things just about, you know, the food and the way we talk, not so much the language, more the way we speak. And it's made fun of, you know, how serious perhaps we are in Iceland. And then about upbringing, the kids, you know, having children, upbringing and relations and different stuff.
I can't really tell whether it's better to see the show at the start of your trip to Iceland or at the end, because you can see it at the start and think, well, now I'm armed with all of this knowledge. But if you see it at the end, then you can think, oh, yeah, that is the case. That is true.
I've heard from people that have both seen the show that's the first thing they do coming to Iceland. And I've also heard people, like I was at a restaurant a couple of weeks ago and after the show, and a couple came up to me from the United States, from Boston, and they had just traveled through all of Iceland and they saw the show that evening and I did the show and they were going back to Boston the day after. And they said, like you said, you mentioned, you know, they've seen so much of Iceland, explored so much of Iceland, and it was it all made sense now. Now seeing the show, it was the cherry on the top.
Well, with 1,000 or more than 1,000 performances, although this is intended, I think, maybe for tourists and visitors, there must have been some Icelanders that have seen the show over the years. What do locals make of it? What do Icelanders make of it?
We usually have a few Icelanders, sometimes none, but very often Icelandic people take their guests to the show. But sometimes it's, you know, groups of Icelandic people with no foreigners. Like a month ago, there was a group of 50 or 60 people. I think it was just a company or something that wanted to have a good time. And they bought tickets to the show. And I usually talk a lot with the audiences. Mm. And I ask them, you know, but why you don't have a life? Why you're all Icelandic? What is this, identity crisis? Why would you pick this show? So they usually respond. The Icelandic people respond to other things.
Yes, yes.
Or like sometimes they spoil the joke because they start laughing a little bit too soon.
Stepping on the punchline. Yeah. We saw Ari Eldjarn in Soho in London when we lived there.
Yeah.
And it was the final night of his run in Soho, and there were more Icelanders than non-Icelanders in the audience, which really threw him. It's like the entire Icelandic community had come to visit him, and so he did some of the show in Icelandic. Well, it took me more than 60 minutes to become Icelandic, to become a citizen, but I do remember the show being a really interesting, fun primer in being Icelandic. We have a conversation now in the middle of August, lots of tourists around, of course. Tell me about the schedule for the show, when people can come to see this.
We usually do between 2 and 5 shows a week during the summer. I would say 4 shows a week during the summer. Mm. And then we have about 1 or 2 shows during the fall, winter, and spring months. However, we do shows daily between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay.
Those dates are usually quite popular.
Yeah. Well, people didn't used to come to Iceland at Christmas time ever, but now that's more of a thing, and so there are more people around looking for things to do again.
Yeah. So there've been many people have come here to, you know, they want to be here during the New Year's Eve, you know, and they've been maybe doing something during the day, and they see the show. Go take a quick shower, come see the show, and then they go do something fun in the evening.
And a word about Harpa, if you've not been, it's a wonderful venue, isn't it? A wonderful place to be.
Yes, it's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just to come in, and if you haven't been at Harpa, like you said, you know, just, you know, walk around and take in the views and the architecture and the... Make a day of it.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to put a link up to the page of How to Become Icelandic in 60 Minutes on the page that accompanies this show from Rúv English Radio. Will you update the show as time goes on? We talked about the new myths that are being created, such as, of course, the myths around it not being safe to travel to Iceland. Do you update the material, or will you?
Yes, absolutely. And we've been running 12 years, so we've had to. At the beginning, when we started 2012, the financial meltdown, was still fresh, you know.
Maybe you'll have to use that material again one day.
Maybe. So we didn't throw it away, but after 8-9 years, sort of felt, it needed. It was not fresh anymore, so we changed it. And whenever there's a new prime minister, we need to change stuff.
Bjarni, thanks very much indeed. The link, as I say, to that page, available on our page. Bjarni Thornsson, who's the creator and writer of How to Become Icelandic in 60 Minutes, a highly recommended show here at Harpa in the center of the Icelandic capital. I'm Darren Adam. You can get in touch with us on Rúv English anytime. Our email address is english@ruv.is.
There is more from Rúv English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Rúv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Rúv.